Good morning, fellow heirs of heaven. May God give you the peace of understanding how your salvation is assured in Jesus Christ our Lord. Our text for this morning is from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 46. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Fellow redeemed, any student knows when his teacher is really ready and eager to be teaching his class. You see, an eager and willing professor is not going to be sidetracked by questions about what he did over the weekend, or a student who asks him a question about his favorite hobby. A teacher who's ready and eager and knows that what he's teaching is important isn't going to get sidetracked by that tomfoolery. Instead, he's going to zero in on the point. He's not going to be distracted by questions meant to lead him on a tangent. Well, that's the picture of Jesus in our text this morning. This is the Tuesday of Holy Week. He only has two more days before his crucifixion. So Jesus isn't willing to be distracted by questions. Instead, he's going to cut to the heart of the matter by exposing guilt and revealing his own accomplishments. Now, these last two points are really what the heart of the matter is. It's what the heart of the Bible is all about. Showing people their need for a Savior by showing them just how stained with sin they really are, and then assuring them of that full and free forgiveness, is the heart of the matter that Jesus cut to in our text. And he did that by avoiding that meaningless argument that the lawyer wanted to take him down into. So the problem with this question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" is that no matter how Jesus answered, no matter which commandment he picked, this lawyer, who was an expert in the law, he knew them front and back, all 613 of the laws that the Pharisees had come up with, he knew them inside and out, so he would be able to say, "Well, no, I think this one is more important." The real problem with this question was that it was an opinion. And you and I both know that the only way you're going to have somebody agree on an opinion is if you take one person and put them in the room. As soon as you put two people in a room, they're not going to agree on their opinions 100% exactly. So Jesus had to avoid this opinionated question. And he did that instead of zeroing in on the nitty-gritty laws that the Pharisees had made up and aren't even included in the Old Testament. He focused in on the attitude of obeying those laws. When he said in our text, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself," it was all about the attitude that these Pharisees and that anyone obeys the law with. So instead of getting waylaid by that trick question, he focused in on the main point. And he didn't miss his opportunity to steer the conversation toward exposing those Pharisees' guilt. Because while they might believe, and they might even think, that they'd outwardly obeyed all 613 of those laws, there's no way that they could honestly say to themselves that they'd done it with a pure heart the entire time. What about you? Well, yes, you might be able to say, "Well, maybe today I've done all right. Outwardly, I haven't obeyed any commandments." You might trick yourself into thinking that. But if you really think about your motives and you think about your attitude of obeying your professors, of being nice to other people, are you doing it because you want to and out of a Christian heart of faith? Or are you doing it because you have to? Did you do your homework because you knew you'd get a bad grade? That stick of the law hanging over your head that you're worried about? Or did you do it because Christ wanted you to be a good student? Well, we, like all those Pharisees, find ourselves being exposed by that, by the law that Jesus mentioned, that law talking about our attitude. And that's really all the law can do. It's going to point the finger at each and every one of you, and it's going to say, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You are good for nothing, and all your actions, all they're ever going to do for you, is send you straight to hell. That's it. There's no more. That's all the law is ever going to tell you. And that's why we absolutely cannot fail to show Christ's accomplishment. That's why Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't finish with the law and say, that's good enough. No, instead, he asked the Pharisees and he asked that lawyer, who do you think, or what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they were trained to think, they'd been brought up to think that the Christ was just a man, that he was going to come and restore that earthly kingdom of Israel. So they said, well, he's the son of David. And yeah, it's true, Jesus Christ is the son of David, but he's so much more than that. The Pharisees' answer was just a halfway decent answer that, like when you're supposed to write a paragraph on your test, you instead write two words. Sure, it was partially true, but it wasn't the main point. And that's why Jesus had to show them, not only is he David's son, he's also David's Lord. In our text, when it says, David in the Spirit calls him Lord, it means David was inspired when he wrote that psalm that said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Jesus Christ wasn't just a man. We all know that. He was God. He came down from heaven. The Pharisees had traded out that idea that Jesus was sent to save the world from their sin, and they traded out that idea of a Messiah who would save everyone from their sin for an idea of a earthly Messiah who would restore the kingdom of Israel. Well, today, that idea that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that true idea that the Bible teaches, that Jesus Christ saved the world from our sin, is being traded out for the idea that Jesus was just a moral teacher. He taught you how to obey the law, how to be an ethical person and live with good moral ethics. But he didn't just teach that. Yes, he did. He taught us how to obey the law. But of course, you and I both know that he taught us so much more than that. He taught us how full and free forgiveness from all the sin that we've ever committed is given to us by his sacrifice on the cross. When the law points at you and it says, you're guilty. How dare you? And then the law's done. That's when the gospel comes in. That's why Jesus had to show, yes, I came and I accomplished this wonderful salvation for the world. We need to hear it, and so did the Pharisees back then. Now, any good teacher tries to stay to the point of his lesson. He knows it's important, and he isn't going to fill class with meaningless jabber about unimportant topics. The greatest teacher didn't become distracted by this trick question that the lawyer had posed, but instead he used it to show how the lawyer and all the Pharisees were guilty. And then he went on to the second half of the heart of the matter, the most important half, of showing how Jesus Christ accomplished the salvation of the world by being God who died on the cross. Well, fellow believers, class is in session, and you're the teachers, and time's running out. You've got to keep coming back to the heart of the matter so that you can show other believers, other unbelievers, their guilt, and show them their salvation in Jesus Christ, the God and Lord of us all. Amen. We'll close by singing hymn 538, verses 1 and 3.